My name's Steve, and I love people who make things. We're a nation of inventive, inspiring makers.
This room alone will produce 100,000 items a year. But yeah, it used to be full of cows.
And then I'd be, you know, Afghanistan or Iraq, sat in my room just sketching out designs, waiting to come home to play around with them.
I'm on a mission to list the greatest products we make, because if we don't champion the skills on our doorstep, we risk losing them.
And running down to our left, we have hand cutting. The problem is getting labour now.
One of the biggest challenges we have here is our ageing workforce.
Join me as we hear stories from behind the factory doors.
I remember drawing my dad's house and he said, why don't you count the bricks?
Oh, he wanted you to be quiet, didn't he?
Do you ever have any sleepless nights, Alex?
I don't sleep.
Together, let's make more makers. Welcome to the factory next door, and welcome to the city of Sheffield in South Yorkshire. A city, actually, that's just about to go through a rebrand, getting a whole new visual identity. On the train up here, I was just reading the council's kind of 14-page proposal. It's all about celebrating the city's importance when it comes to the history of things like football, climbing, craft beer, health technology. Do you know what word was not in the council's 14 pages? Steel. But we are here to celebrate steel, because number 30 on our list of the greatest products we make here in Britain are the kitchen scissors. You and I are currently stood outside of a beautiful brick building in the centre of the city, and I'm just about to ring the doorbell next to a fabulous wooden red painted door. Whilst I go in and say hello, have a listen to what's coming up in this week's show.
People have something with scissors. There are so many stories about scissors.
When I first say to people, oh, I'm a scissor maker, they think, oh, it's just a factory worker stood on a production line, but it's really not that.
Sorry. Had you not been to Sheffield before you bid to buy this company?
No. It was by telephone. Sometimes you have
you
to do...
You really, really wanted those scissors, didn't you, Paul?
I wanted my pair of scissors.
So you can either add more to in there. We all learned how to do everything here because there's so few of us left who can make scissors. We're all trying to learn everything.
When I'm 85, I could say, not bad. That's very English, huh? Not bad. I'm Paul Jacobs. I'm a scissor maker. Not by nature, but since 6.5 years.
I've gate-crashed the birthday celebrations.
Kind of. It's Natalie's birthday.
Natalie, what are you doing for your birthday?
So I'm going to Broadstairs for 3 days.
I have got my fingers crossed for you to have nice weather. Let's pretend Paul's not listening. Is it good fun?
It's really good fun. Yeah. I mean, it's just addictive. I knew what a good scissor was because my mum's a dressmaker, so there's always been rules around what scissor you use. But yeah, it's a really, really lovely place to work. It seems a bit ridiculous that you get to work in a very historic but very fun workplace where they're all quite young. You know, we're all quite a young team, so we just get on really well.
Does your mum still make dresses?
She's gone on to quilting. I bought some of our quilting scissors because...
That was my next question.
So wrong not to. And she straight away went, oh, they're too good to use. And I was like, no, you have to use them because there's no point having scissors in a drawer. Get them used. You can't do any damage to them. No, they can be re-edged, repolished, reset for hundreds of years. So get them used.
So, Paul, did you always intend to own a scissor manufacturer?
When I was very young, no, it was completely...
Was that always your life's dream?
No, but if I knew what I know now, I should have focused on it when I was young. It's fun. It gives me pleasure. We do something unique.
So if it wasn't your life's dream to own a scissor maker in Sheffield, tell me how we got here.
So, in 2011, the fifth generation of the Ernest Wright family took over the business, and wanted to go in a new direction, want to bring back a pattern of kitchen scissors, which is called the Cut Right. To bring it back, Nick Wright, he raised money for that.
Raised money through the Kickstarter.
To the Kickstarter.
And is that the tea boiler?
We always keep hot water here, so we can have tea every moment we like. Right. There is always hot tea.
I think having tea on tap is supremely important. Is it just going to die down, the sound from it, in a moment?
It's part of Yorkshire.
The tea maker was crowding you out there, Paul. So the company launches a Kickstarter campaign to do this.
The campaign itself was successful, but the execution went in all kind of problems.
Where were you living?
I'm living still in the Netherlands.
So you're in the Netherlands. You see a Kickstarter campaign for some beautiful pairs of scissors.
I want that pair of scissors.
You place your order.
I place my order. I get updates from the company every month. But after 2 years, they did not succeed. And the company went belly up. Also, the owner passed away. So the company was bankrupt. I get this message at home.
You get an email saying, thanks for your order, but...
But this is terrible news we have to bring, and company will be closed. And I thought, what a shame. I was so looking forward to my pair of scissors. And I thought by myself, wait a minute, I want my pair of scissors.
You must have really wanted those scissors, Paul.
I was looking forward to this pair of scissors. So I reached out to the receiver of the company, and I made a winning bid, which surprised me because I didn't know anything about Sheffield or scissor making.
So okay, in we go. To be greeted by a giant tub of green liquid. What is that, Paul?
So we use three kind of metals here. Stainless steel, carbon steel, C50 and C60, and carbon steel will rust or corrode. So this green stuff you see in there is anti-corrosion.
Give me a little idea of what we're looking at. There's a lot of benches here and machines here.
We can do that, but normally we start somewhere else.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry, I'm jumping the gun. We're going elsewhere. This workshop just goes deeper and deeper. These machines are the start, okay.
These machines are the start, and that's where we grind in the hollow of the blade.
I'm gonna need help understanding the hollow. So you're getting the elements of the scissors, which, you know, kind of roughly I think everyone can understand and appreciate the two pieces.
This is a blank, and here you see that we grind in the hollow. The scissors should touch only on the sharp edges. So that's why the sharp edge itself should be the highest point.
So a good pair of scissors, actually, it's not flat on the inside
Never
blade.
Flat.
It's concaved slightly?
That's why the twist.
Okay, here we go. Now I'm seeing scissors and shears in a whole different light. They're not flat blades. And it's with these machines here.
So these are made in Italy. It's called the Viotto. And we have three. These are all three from 1972. These are for our workshop modern machines.
Modern technology, a mere 50 years old.
A long time ago, yes. So I make the winning bid, and then the receiver says, you had the winning bid, but I cannot guarantee what you're buying is there. I said, okay, I come to Sheffield, and all the machinery...
Had you not been to Sheffield before you bid to buy this company?
No, it was by telephone. Sometimes you have
you
to do...
You really, really wanted those scissors, didn't you, Paul?
I wanted my pair of scissors. And so I called a friend and I said, do you remember this story of the scissors? I said, yes. I said, do you want to go on an adventure and see what we can do? And I said, okay. I said, then you have to pick me up tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, because tomorrow we have a meeting at 3 o'clock in Sheffield.
What were you doing before you became a scissor maker?
IT telecoms,
yeah. So closely associated with,
very
with
close,
the scissor industry.
Very close. And we bought all the machinery back from the scrap metal guy who bought it from the receiver, and we called also the landlord, like, yeah, I cannot pay you for the past, but I can guarantee you the future. And that's where we started.
When you arrived for the first time after your winning bid had been accepted, and you'd driven 9 hours from the Netherlands
in a modern electric car, and then we end up here thinking we were in a time capsule driving back in time. So these are the saddle grinders. We have two kind of wheels on it. We can do the inside of the blade, but normally we use these for etching, so putting the sharp edges on the scissor.
You can see why it's called a saddle grinder, because you kind of you sit like it, like it's a saddle in front of the grinding stone.
This is to protect your manhood. So this
that looks an important piece of metal.
Yeah, in the earlier days these wheels could explode. You don't have it anymore because we have a more modern composite. But it could explode, and then you don't want to be in the way of these ones. This is, by the way, James. He is.
Hey, James. Very nice to meet you.
Just was awarded in December or November by the Heritage Craft as Trainee of the Year. He's now 4 years with us.
Oh, congratulations. Did you always want to work in this kind of environment, creating things?
Yeah, for sure. So I've done lots of metalwork in the past, like blacksmithing, stuff like this, like a blacksmith since I was like 12 years old. So I've always been interested in the metalwork and stuff. Never enjoyed academic pursuits, wasn't a big fan at school. And I found that I just really enjoyed making something from nothing.
You might not be academic, but clearly you're very smart. Smart in what you're doing here. And also, I saw you playing chess earlier in your lunch break.
You know, smarts can work in different ways.
Of course they can. Do you like chess?
I do indeed. I mean, it doesn't have many parallels to scissor making, but it's kind of related to another thing I do outside, which is jiu-jitsu, which is another physical pursuit, in a way, creating something from just your body. You know, it's another extension of the same patterns of thinking, you know. And that's how I see it, you know. All the things that I do, like, align with each other, which is why I'm so passionate about it. When I first say to people, oh, I'm a scissor maker, they think, oh, it's just a factory worker stood on a production line, but it's really not that. And that's why I like people like you coming around, so you can actually see what it actually is, what we're doing at Ernest Wright, you know. It's such a special thing.
I can really attest that it's so not a production line that we're seeing here.
Yeah.
On the train up just now, I was exchanging messages with a listener. Hello, Louise, who makes kilts. And I said, oh, actually, I'm just popping up to Sheffield to record a show. And she was like, are you going to Ernest Wright? And I said, oh, blimey, you know, well done, actually, I am. And she said, I've got a pair of shears from them. They sleep in their box every night, and woe be anyone who tries to take them off me.
People have something with scissors. There is so many stories about scissors, and everyone has a granny or an aunt or a mother. Oh, there's scissors, you cannot touch. But it is also, they just bought three scissors, three large ones, and he had a flood. And he was most worried about his scissors were rusted because they were underwater. He sent them back, and we because it's just metal, so we grind it and we polish it again, and it's there in a brand new form. They said, wow, they cannot believe it, but that's the fun of working with metal.